We have one reading today. I'm going to do the first half. Dr. Fred will finish it. It's from Luke chapter 24. My part is verses 13 through 24, and it's called The Road to Emmaus. That same day, two of them were walking to the village, Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they just stood there, long-faced, like they had just lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" And they said, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our friends went off to the tombs to check and found it empty, just as the women said. But they did not see Jesus."
Thank you, Linda, for making me smile. When you ask me now, how do you pronounce the word Emmaus? I couldn't help it, but immediately I wanted to say to you, I can tell it to you in German, I can tell it to you in Dutch, I can tell it to you in Afrikaans. I have difficulty with the English. And then my mind went back to the times in the gold fields of Welkom, that's in the heart of South Africa. We used to go into the mission field because we had 17 different languages spoken in what we called the mine kampongs surrounding our town. And that meant that I would go up to preach a sermon, and then they sat in 17 different groups, each one speaking a different language. And the moment when I, after I completed a sentence, all hell broke loose. and they all translated in their own languages. And so these are pleasant memories of the past of proclaiming the never-changing Word of God. Let's continue our reading of Luke 24. Then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophet said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?" And then he started at the beginning with the books of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. And they came to the edge of the village where they were headed. And he acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." So he went in with them. And here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke and gave it to them. And at that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?" They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. Here ends our scripture this morning. May we all be aware of God's presence in our midst this morning. And following our scripture reading, let me just say a word of welcome to our associate conference minister, Dr. Raymond Hargrove, and his wife, Cora, that just walked in. Somebody didn't tell you that our worship times had changed. And let me tell you just a little personal confidence, because I immediately returned your email by saying, would you be so kind to do the pastoral prayer for us this morning? But afterwards, I thought, just for safety, I will prepare a pastoral prayer itself. And if you're here, then I have no problem. And so it happened. So my decision was good. Raymond, Cora, we love you both. We support your ministry. It's wonderful to have you in our midst this morning. Friends, in a Peanuts cartoon of decades ago, we see Charlie Brown at the end of his rope. Exasperated by the lack of cooperation he receives from Lucy, he finally asks her, "Now where do I go to just give up?" And many of us can relate to that condition of mind, asking the same question. I've done everything I possibly can. I'm exhausted. I've tried everything. Nothing works. All hope is lost. Where do I go to give up? Well, that's exactly where today's scripture reading begins. It was following the horrible crucifixion and death of Jesus in Jerusalem and two followers of Jesus also wondered, it's all over. Everything is lost. Where do we go just to give up? And they chose to go to Emmaus. Now, in Christian tradition, Emmaus became and still is known as a word, a venue of despondency. Emmaus in Christian tradition is a place where people end up when they have nowhere else to go. A place for people without hope. And then we would ask, now what is an Emmaus experience? Now today's scripture that we heard shows that it all started simply by understanding, by analyzing, by thinking, by talking, by trying to understand what happened in those days. And these travelers on the road to Emmaus were discussing all the great events that took place. They were there. They saw the horrible ending and they lost hope. But the Bible says they were fortunate that someone came to them, teaching them the significance of what really took place in Jerusalem. So once again in Christian tradition, Emmaus always follow Easter. Just about every Easter. Emmaus evokes soul-searching questions that Christians should ask about their personal faith. And as far as these two people on their way to Emmaus were concerned, they only were sure of one thing. Jesus was dead. He was buried. It was history. So they felt hopeless. They felt alone. For them, the future was bleak, and they were talking about the sad events of Good Friday in cruel Jerusalem. And then we hear the story that a stranger at first joined their walk, started talking about the prophecies of the coming Messiah in the Hebrew Testament, because he was explaining scripture to them, and it was a time before the New Testament. So he actually took them back in history and explained what was written in Hebrew scripture. And finally, they invited the stranger to share their meager evening meal. The Bible says that while they were breaking bread, they rediscovered Jesus in the breaking of the bread. So, what then is an Emmaus experience? Aha! Is that not what also happens? For instance, when you and I gather around the communion table, when we remember, when we think back, when we celebrate the memory of the sacrifice of Jesus, our source of salvation speaks to us. When the bread and wine speak a language that we all understand and touch us deeply, in the simple act, here in church, of breaking the bread, pouring the wine. We must be aware of one thing. At that moment, their direction was away from Jerusalem. They had their backs turned on the past with Jesus. And they were now heading towards Emmaus, a destination of despair. And then they discovered that Jesus was alive. And the moment when they realized the truth, that made all the difference. And later they would say to one another, "Wow! That experience, our hearts were burning at that moment." And at that moment, the moment of recognition, their hope and their joy returned. And what did they do? What did they do? They stopped going to Emmaus. They turned around and they faced Jerusalem once again. The direction changed. Now from Emmaus to Jerusalem. Back to real living with Christ. One could say, for them, the funeral became a festival. Your and my spiritual direction is determined by our understanding of Jesus. Some are moving away from Jerusalem with sad and somber thoughts about the good old days when Jesus was still with them. Could be that there's someone like this in church this morning, listening over the internet. Yeah, there was a time when I believed all that Christian jargon. Oh yeah, yeah. I was a good boy when I still had mom around. But now I'm on the way to Emmaus. The memory has faded. I no longer share the joy and the jubilation of modern Christianity. For them, Jesus is a part of their memory. Some called their mothers this morning to say, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I remember that you told me about Jesus. Just a pity that I moved away from what you taught me. Once, for many people, he was great, but now he's gone. We're not so gullible anymore. We have answers for everything. Modern theology is running away from itself. Cannot keep up. New understandings, new insights. It's worthwhile keeping up. It's worthwhile following during these hectic times that Jesus is alive and well. And that is the message of hope that we have, that we can proclaim from this pulpit or wherever we go. If he was once great in your life, in your testimony, here is the latest news, breaking news. He is still alive and well. And he's beckoning you to follow him, not to Emmaus, but to Jerusalem. So many people on their way to Emmaus had a meeting, a discussion, a reminder, a stranger coming into their life, or maybe a preacher that they've listened to for 10 years, saying it for the first time, as if it is yesterday's news. And now they were turning in our story, our biblical story, they're turning their backs on Emmaus. Change direction. And now they are facing Jerusalem, because it's there that they fled from, where they now realize that real life in Christ was beckoning them. And now they are different. Despondency is gone. They're filled with faith, with hope, with love. They are ready for action and service, because something real, dramatic, and lasting happened in their lives. So we can put it this way. Two people had an Emmaus experience, and their lives would never be the same again. Now, followers of Jesus in our times also discover that their lives become a journey of following clear directions, following his teachings, learning from him. And you know what? After an Emmaus experience, people also begin to look differently to strangers in their midst. Studying faces of strangers who join them on the way. Maybe there is something we have to say for one another. Maybe if you have a better understanding than me, share it with me. If not, let me tell you about Jesus. It's not old-fashioned. It's not outdated. The instruction of our faith has never been cancelled or watered down. Many in our times are still following Jesus despite the dangers and potential pitfalls. They reach out to others who have not yet discovered Christ as a precious turnaround from their personal lonesome journey to Emmaus, the venue of despondency. We are modern people. We don't believe in fairy tales. But we do believe in a living Christ. The real dividing line in human existence has nothing to do with physical life and death. The real dividing line in human existence is within the human spiritual heart. Either you have a living faith that sustains you, or you do not. There is a line between being cold and uncaring or warm and loving. It is between the heart that is defeated and filled with doubt and despair, or the heart that is hopeful and filled with excitement and expectation. And in case you don't realize it, but we can still be read like a book. Anyone can read us like a book. We can say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus from morn to night, and our very being will convince those around us that it's all a lie. Just a name. Just an umbrella. Because the presence of Jesus Christ in your life and my life is not a matter of cheap witness. Cheap witness. Repetition of words. It's a matter of sharing an experience that we personally experienced, that touched us and changed us and sent us out with a mission. If we had an Emmaus experience, neither you nor me will be able to hide it. There is no way to hide the presence, or for that matter, the absence of a living faith in your life and in mine. It is noticeable in the way that we deal with one another, the way that we gossip about one another, the way that we talk about people behind their backs. It is visible in the way that we conduct ourselves as God's people in uncertain times. Oh yes, if Christ is alive in your life, it's noticeable in the way you walk, the way you talk, and the way that we deal with one another. When Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," he was referring to a quality of life within. Christ is not a halo. Christ is a presence. Finally, those two on their way to Emmaus understood who Jesus really was. We can say that daybreak followed their night of darkness. Everything he told them began to make real sense, maybe for the first time. And then they discovered that now they were involved. No longer could they possibly journey to Emmaus. There was no way. They had to turn back. And that's so beautiful, the conclusion. As they broke the bread, they discovered it was Jesus. Bible says, Jesus became visible in the breaking of the bread. And in that act, Jesus opened the door to a true, real, lasting relationship with God. If Easter, this year's Easter, didn't bring us to a new connection or a renewed connection with God, then it was not Easter. It was Emmaus after all. The witness of our fathers and mothers remain our witness in uncertain times. He lives He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Amen.